And you know, especially when you're dealing with gay and lesbian relationships, where we don't have the securities and we don't have the protections of the law that others do. And I've tried to explain to him many, 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 many times how important it is. You know, if he were to drop dead tomorrow, his family would cart off his body and they'd be at a kingdom hall and wanting to have a funeral service, and that would tear me to shreds. Emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, it would just eat me alive. And I've said, you need to put something on paper and make it clear. If you can't stand up for Jesus in life, then you sure as murder better be able to do it in your death. And I said, you need to put something on paper so that that doesn't happen. And I don't know about y'all, but this is the way I feel about relationships. If you can't care enough about your partner to be concerned that they would have to go through all that after your passing to make some kind of provision, then you don't care enough about your partner. That's how I feel about it. And so I've said, you know, you need to put something on paper and have it set up, because I don't want to have to go through some horrific experience if something should happen to you. But see, the attitude often is, oh, but, you know, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live to be 1,000 years old. You know, I'm going to defeat death. I'll be the one person in the whole world who will never die. And you and I know that's not going to happen. And it's things like today that really drive that point home for me and just really, you know, push it in there and help me. And I wish to God people would think and realize that this is a reality, folks. Troy was just in church with us not even a few months back. Used to come, you know, regularly for quite a while, actually. He and his wife, Donna. So, you know, I'm telling you, life is not guaranteed. You think you've got it all down pat. Life is not guaranteed. God can call your number at any moment and any time. And we need to be mindful of that. So anyway, I'm very heartbroken today to hear that news about Troy. And I just got the message this morning. My phone started working again. That thing just kicks in and out whenever it feels like it. And but I got the message this morning, and it broke my heart. It totally broke my heart. So we need to be praying for Donna and for his family. And Troy had a lot of issues, and who amongst us doesn't? And I used to say when he came to church, and he and his wife, both of them have a lot of issues. They're very difficult people, to be honest with you, to deal with. But I used to say, if we can't love them unconditionally, then we are not living up to the message that we preach. And it was my goal and my desire that they be a test case, as it were, for the message that we preach, and that we pass that test, and that we genuinely live up to what we say. And that is that God isn't for the rich, God isn't for the smart, God isn't for the powerful, God isn't for the perfect, God's for everybody. Amen. Regardless of how goofy we might be at times, God is for everybody. Amen. The Lord is on your side, and he's seeking your success. So we just pray today that Troy's affairs were in order before the Lord, because now he faces eternity, and he'll face God, he'll face the Lord as a judge. And so we just want to really be prayerful for that family today. Amen. I want to talk to us for a little while on the topic today of cause and effect. Cause and effect. If you have your Bibles and you'd open them, please, to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. And the multitudes of our church arise and stand to their feet as we read the Word of God, in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 20, we'll read through verse 30. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. Sounds like a kind of confusing text, doesn't it? But we're basically going to be focusing in on verse 29, and David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Cause and effect. Would you bow with me? Master, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the ability to come into the house of God to hear from heaven and to receive from you. Lord, as the word of God is about to go forth, we ask that the anointing and presence of the Holy Ghost would rest heavily upon your messenger, God. Help us, Lord, to deliver the word that you've given me, for there's not a thing in this world I can say that can ever be of help to anyone outside of the anointing. God, there's not a thing in the world this preacher can do that would encourage a heart or lift up a broken spirit, except that the anointing and presence of God ride and rest upon every word that I speak. Lord, anoint the ears of clay that hear today the words that I speak. Allow us to be receptive, God, to the message that the Spirit would speak unto the church. Grant it all, we ask in the lovely, wonderful, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God and amen. You may be seated today. Isn't it funny how when David got down there to the battle, because he didn't see things the way everybody else sees things, then all of a sudden his brother figures, you're just up to no good. You're just a mischief maker. You're just causing trouble. You came down to see what's going on and to put your nose in where it doesn't belong. But David wasn't down there that morning because he wanted to be down there. David was down there because his father asked him to. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? It never ceases to amaze me how I remember Elijah, when he went before the king, how the king said to him, Art thou the man that troubleth Israel? You stand up for something, and without fail, people are going to call you a troublemaker. You stand up for something, and people are automatically going to peg you as someone who's trying to cause grief and trouble and strife and woe. But honey, David wasn't at the battle that day because David decided to go. He was there because his dad sent him. I'm here to tell you, I'm not standing up here in this pulpit this morning with this particular audience, not real enormous and huge. I'm not here today because I want to be here. I'm here because my father sent me. Amen. I'm here because my father spoke to me and said, I want you to go down to the front lines. Sometimes the people who are on the front lines aren't doing the job like they should, and God's got to take the most unusual, unlikely person and send them to the front line, because believe it or not, that little boy is more likely to get the job done than all the soldiers that are on the front line. Amen. That timid little boy was more likely to have what it took to get the job done than all those soldiers with all their armor and all their spears and all their bows and arrows. Isn't it amazing that God can use the least of us to do the greatest things? Hallelujah. Thank God can use somebody like me, full of warts and pimples, full of all kinds of faults and all kinds of weaknesses. But thank God he can use me, because it's never been about me. It's been about him the whole time. God doesn't need me to be perfect, because God's perfect. Hallelujah. God doesn't need me to be sinless, because Jesus was sinless. Hallelujah. And what I am means little to God, but who he is means everything to me. Hallelujah. Whew. For every action, it is said, there is an equal or greater reaction. You ever heard that saying? The law of cause and effect. When we have a cause, we cannot help but respond to every situation based upon that cause. David knew that there was no giant big enough or any army great enough to defeat the armies of God so long as they had a cause. We get the term because, the English word because, from the root word cause. When we say that we did, said, or reacted to something because of this reason or that, what we're in fact stating is that this is the cause of my reaction, or this is the cause of my words, or this was the cause of my actions. As soon as you attach that word, because, what you're doing is you're letting people know, this is what caused it. This was my cause. This is what motivated me to act in that way. I like what the Word of God tells us in Acts 16:22-25, a little story about a couple of men who had a difficult day. And the multitude rose up together against them, Paul and Silas. And the Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What an unusual thing to do when you've just been beaten. What an odd thing to do when you're laying in a prison with your feet in stocks. But just like David, Paul and Silas knew there isn't a giant big enough to stand against God's people. There isn't an army strong enough to come against the armies of the living God. We've got a cause, hallelujah. We've got something on the inside that motivates us differently. And it doesn't matter what's going on the outside, because we've got a cause. Paul and Silas may have said that evening, we sang in prison at the midnight hour because we have something inside of us that is a source of joy when the circumstances on the outside of us and all around us are dire and miserable. And that which is inside of us is called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And no enemy was going to defeat Paul and Silas in spirit, although they were battered and bruised in body. Why? Because they had the Holy Ghost within, the Comforter, the source of our joy, the source of truth, the power to slay dragons and demons by the name of our God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you got a cause, it's a wonderful thing what people can do when they've got a cause. Amen. I read the story of in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 of Peter and John going up to the temple. And there was a lame man who was begging. You know, we live in a society today where you can't hardly go anywhere if you got somebody standing outside wanting to beg money from you. Of course, nowadays, a lot of folks are doing it to raise money for their drug habits and their alcohol habits. And, you know, back in biblical times, folk did it because they had to eat. Amen. Because in biblical times, a lot of, if you had health situations or if you were a widow, in many instances, especially if you were a widow without children, you had nobody to care for you. You had nobody to take up the slack when you had nothing. And so therefore, folks would resort to begging, and that was extremely important to them because that was the only way they had of having any kind of a livelihood and making any kind of an income and sustaining themselves. That's all they had. And this man was outside of the gate of the temple, and he was begging, and Peter and John came along. I love prosperity preachers trying to tell you that the apostles were rich. I love prosperity preachers that preach a bunch of fibs and tell you that God's people ought to be wealthy and rich and ought to have everything. Because Peter and John come along, and this man's begging money, and Peter had to look at him and say, silver and gold have I none. You know what? How many times I don't have nothing in my pocket that I can give you to help you. I don't have anything inside my purse or inside my wallet that I can offer you. Because just like everybody else in this world, there are times I just don't have it. But you know what? Just because I don't have anything in my wallet doesn't mean I don't have something. Amen. You hear me now? Just because I don't have any, my wallet may be empty, but my soul is full. Oh, hallelujah. And Peter and John turn around, and the Bible says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Well, you're expecting right. You're just not expecting the right thing. You're expecting to receive something, but what you were going to get and what you were expecting to get were two different things. Amen. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Peter and John might have said that day, we responded to this lame man by calling health and healing back into his body in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was seeking our assistance and we had something to offer him. Hallelujah. When will we realize that we have a cause? When those in our community and those in our cities have questions for which they cannot find answers and dilemmas from which they can find no relief, we have the answers and we have the much needed relief. And it's all contained within the glorious five-letter name of Jesus. Hallelujah. David picked up five smooth stones from the brook that day with which to approach Goliath. J-E-S-U-S. Hallelujah. He picked up five little, so he only used one, but he picked up five. Amen. Am I telling the truth today? I believe I am. Let's look at the story. 1 Samuel 17:40 through 47 tells us, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to use a stone as a weapon, I sure don't want a smooth one. Amen. I want a jagged one that can get in there and do its business, all right? But David picked up five smooth stones, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Big giant, can't even carry his own shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He's just a little midget of a kid. See, but that giant doesn't know how God works, because when you got a cause, it doesn't matter how big you are, how little you are. It doesn't matter whether you got smooth stones or rugged stones. God's going to get the job done. Amen. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'm going to tell you this morning, my friend, the devil talks a big talk. But let's see if he can follow through on it. Amen. The devil will growl at you, and every once in a while, he'll make some noise, and he'll try to discourage you. But if you'll just remember that the cause you have on the inside is bigger than the devil you face, then it doesn't matter how much noise he makes. In the end, you're going to come out victorious. I keep trying to tell the people of God over and over, I've preached it. The Bible says, Satan, like a roaring lion, roameth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Children, let me give you some news today. Lions don't roar when they're hunting. Do you hear me now? Lions don't roar when they're hunting. No, that would be dumb, because then your prey knows you're coming, and they start to running, and they don't want to be where the lion is. But see, the devil is more afraid of you than you are of him, and therefore he'll try to intimidate you before he even gets to you by making a noise and making a racket. But hallelujah, stand your ground. Is there not a cause? There is something on the inside of you that will cause you to send thousands to flight. If you'll stand true and tall and keep your faith intact. Hallelujah. My Lord, have mercy. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, And all his assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Hallelujah. J-E-S-U-S. Five little letters that may seem harmless in appearance. They may be smooth stones. They may not look like they can do much on their own. But when they're placed on the tongue or in the slingshot, if you will, of a child of God with a cause, those five little letters can wreak havoc in hell and can fell giants. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, the Word of God declares in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. God's people today perish for their lack of vision. The question today is a vision of what? My answer today is simple. A vision of victory against every adversary and complete and utter ruin for all who dare stand in the path of God's church or God's people. Amen. That's what I want to have a vision of. I want to constantly in my mind and in my spirit see victory. When it's all said and done at the end of the night, I want to lay my head on the pillow and know in my heart and in my spirit that when I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to wake up a winner. Come on now. It may look down today. It may look discouraging tonight. But oh, bless God, tomorrow joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. When it's all said and done, devil, I will get up the winner. You can't win. You can stall, you can stutter, you can cause me to stumble, but you can't win. Hallelujah. Whew. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. Jesus is speaking and said, And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Mary, this morning, understand this. The enemy only has power when we have surrendered to him ours.
Yes, amen.
Do you hear me now? The enemy only has power when you surrender your power to him. Otherwise, he's as weak as a kitten. Hallelujah. He might growl like a lion, but he's weak as a kitten. I love the scripture that talks about the day that's going to come. When, you know, the Bible said we're going to see Jesus and we'll see him as he is, for we shall be like him. But you know what? When that day comes, we're also going to see the devil like he really is. And the Bible said we're going to look at him, and you know what he's going to look like? A toothless, weak old man. That's what the scripture tells us. He's going to be a weak, a fumbling, little toothless old man. Because then all of a sudden the children of God are going to realize he wasn't nothing I thought he was. He didn't have any power I thought he had. He didn't have the ability that I thought he had. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The enemy only has power when you surrender him your power. He can only do what we allow him to do. Did you hear me now? I said he can only do what we allow him to do. Not what God allows him to do, but what we allow him to do. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The enemy can only do what we let him do. Hallelujah. It's not about what God lets him do. It's about what you and I let him do. Hallelujah. And we need to learn every once in a while to get up from our bed and start our day by saying, devil, get out of my path. Hallelujah. Today's going to be a victory day. Don't give me any grief, because I'm not in the mood to put up with it. Whew. You hearing me now, girl? All right. I want to make sure. I know my volume tends to be low and it's hard to hear. Amen. The enemy can only discourage us if we allow him to do so. He can only defeat us if we have surrendered and admitted defeat. The power and the authority are ours, and not the Lord's, and certainly not the enemy's. The power and the authority is ours. He's given it to us. It's in our hands. People sit there and pray, oh God, deliver me from this situation. Oh God, do this, do that. And the Lord's sitting there saying, don't ask me, don't tell me about it. I've given you the power. Come on now. I remember years ago doing business with a fella. I had a thrift shop out in East Texas in Athens. And I was doing business with a gentleman, and he's kind of crooked, and he was trying to be a little bit crooked. And at one point, he decided he was going to make an accusation against my testimony. We were on the telephone. Well, you're not much of a Christian if you, and he decided he's going to do that. Big mistake. Brother McCoy, who is a minister that asked to ordain me, he wanted his ministry to ordain me back in 1993. And he was an apostolic minister in Pennsylvania. He said, Brother Morrow, you've got a marvelous ministry, and I think ordination is a bunch of hype. He said, but the law, you know, in many states you can't marry people unless you're ordained and all that. He said, and it just seems ridiculous that you don't have ordination. He said, our ministry is able to ordain people. He said, and I'd be honored if you'd let us ordain you. I said, okay, and then we transferred my ordination over to Grace Oasis Ministries, which I had founded back in 1993. But Brother McCoy said during that service, he said, one thing I've learned about Brother Mora, he said, you sure as murder don't want to come up against his testimony. He said, boy, that boy put you in your spot so fast your head will spin. And this man that day was trying to talk like, you know, call my Christianity and my testimony into question. And I'm on the telephone with him. And all of a sudden I said, I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. Don't you dare call my testimony into question. Click. He hung that phone up so fast that his eyes turned color. I'll tell you what, about the next day, all of a sudden I get a call. Well, Reverend, I sure am sorry about that, what I said the other day, and I sure didn't mean to blah, blah, blah. But you see, children of God, if we would take authority, and if we would take the power into our own hands, and if we would act like the people that God has made us to be, and if we would act like we had the power, if we'd act like we had the authority, if we'd talk like we weren't afraid of the devil, if we'd act like the giant was small enough to slay, if we'd act like we knew that we were going to wake up the winner, let me tell you, you will be on the winning side. If you'll stand up, God will not let you fall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you today, my Lord have mercy. The power and the authority are in our hands. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, you Baptist folks think that's where it ended. They think that's where the commandment of the Lord stops. But you know what? Read the next verse. Because he goes on to say, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. It ain't just about preaching the message. It's about healing the sick. It's about cleansing the leper. It's about raising the dead. It's about casting out devils. It's about making hell shake in its boots because God's church is marching forward in victory. That's what it's about. We act like we ain't got nothing. We got everything. We act like we're powerless and we're so powerful it's a miracle we can continue to walk on this earth without exploding. God have mercy. One job opportunity goes down the toilet, and Ellen, we say, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. And the Lord said, don't oh Lord me. Talk to the devil and tell him, get out of my business. Get out of my affairs. Let another opportunity open, and don't you dare stand in my way. That's how we deal with that. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Listen to what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. Oh, we got a cause. We've got a cause. Because what? Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon his church this morning. And I want you to know, we have a cause. Hallelujah. We can win this thing. We can be the victors in the end. We have a cause. Stephen had a vision of the Lord standing in ovation. by the throne of God as he was about to be ushered into his heavenly reward at the sharp end of hateful men's stones of condemnation and accusation. Did the enemy win? Oh, I don't think so. Stephen scarcely felt a stone because his eyes were fixed above on his Savior and King, anxiously standing, oh hallelujah, prepared to run and fall into a loving embrace with Stephen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord was up on his feet saying, Stephen, come on home, baby. My arms are open. I'm waiting for you. I'm ready for you. Stephen had a vision. He had a cause. Glory to God. He was able to stand in the midst of being stoned and not be focused on the stones, but be focused on the King. Hallelujah to God. Oh, I want you to know today, my friend, if we have a cause, you'd be amazed what you can endure. Be amazed what you can go through when we have a cause. And that cause births a vision in our spirit. My Lord, have mercy. How could Stephen have such a testimony, Mary? At the hour of his death, how could he have such a tremendous testimony? Well, look at the testimony of his life. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen could die a powerful death because he lived a powerful life. Hallelujah. He didn't walk outside of the authority. He didn't walk outside of the power. He didn't walk outside of the anointing when he was living. So why should he die outside of the power? Why should he die outside of the anointing? Why should he die outside of the victory? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Children, today we have a cause. Because there are hurting people in our community who need to know that Christ died also for them. Because there are lost souls in our city and in the surrounding cities who must hear the good news that God's love and grace are available to all. And not just to those who live up to some man-made arbitrary standard of holiness or righteousness. Because today, right outside our church doors, there are men and women, boys and girls, who need this message that we preach so that they too may know the liberation and the victory that we're feeling here this morning. Hallelujah. We have a cause. And lastly this morning, because no one can stand on the receiving end of God's great grace and not want to lead every human being they know to this same refreshing brook flowing like living water from Calvary's hill. You can't come to God and come to this truth and then turn around and not want to bring it to everybody you know. You can't do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think you're doing it, you ain't got it. You hear me today? I'm telling it plain. I don't know anybody. If you think you're saved, if you think you're on your way to heaven, if you think you've got Jesus in your life and you can sit on it and not have to feel like you want to share it and let the world know, then sweetheart, you ain't got it. Am I telling the truth today? Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get this thing down on the inside, there's an old song we used to sing, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Do you have a cause? Is there not a cause? Oh, there's a cause. There's so many people outside of this place today that need what we're preaching. They need to hear this message. They need to receive this experience. They need to be part of what God is doing today in this community through this ministry. Yes, we have a cause. And when you've got a cause, you can slay giants. When you've got a cause, there's not an enemy that can stand in your path and stop you. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. That doesn't mean because hell is going to come against the church. It means because the church is going to go against hell. When you do the kind of ministry I'm doing this morning, and you're trying desperately to reach out to certain communities that feel so alienated from God and feel so hurt by things that churches have done to them, I'm going to tell you, children, we're going straight into the belly of hell and trying to rescue souls. We're going straight into the belly of the prison and trying to bring people out. It's not an easy work, but it's a necessary work. And we have a cause. We have a cause. Hallelujah. Would you stand up with me this morning? I hope that encouraged you a little bit. Amen. Amen. I hope that encouraged you a little bit. We have a cause. Remember that. Oh, every time the devil comes your way, you just say, "Devil, I have a cause. Because the Holy Ghost is inside of me, you can't win. Because the Holy Ghost is in my life, you cannot possibly prevail." Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask this morning if, actually, you know what? I'm going to ask Bob, since he's a visitor, and since there's not a humongous crowd, so he'll be embarrassed or anything. Would you mind closing our service for us with prayer today?
Father, thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes. Right. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. You're dismissed. Go in peace. Amen.